From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Discover is the theme of Artscape this weekend, the nation's largest free arts festival. We look at Teenscape. Jimmy Thomas, principal of the Media Rhythm Institute, tells how students learn artistic and technical skills for careers in the music industry. And we meet up-and-coming performers MC Shania Norris and rapper Sanaya Fletcher. Then Gamescape. Baltimore board chair of the International Game Developers Association, Jonathan Moriarty, describes some of the games and companies taking part and explains the artistic thinking in video games.
I tend to think about art as communication. It's about bringing forward an idea or a story or evoking something from the audience.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Each year, thousands of artists and art enthusiasts descend on Baltimore for Artscape, the country's largest free art festival. Today through Sunday, in the Midtown and Station North neighborhoods, there will be concerts, visual arts installations, poetry workshops, and much more. Within Artscape, there's also a haven for young, up-and-coming artists called Teenscape, a space with performances for and by teens. Some of those performers have developed their craft with help from the Media Rhythm Institute, a collective of youth programs that blends creative skills with entrepreneurial and technical knowledge. Joining me is Jimmy Thomas, principal of the Media Rhythm Institute. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
You offer a broad variety of programming, from dance and music production to podcasting and filmmaking. Why not focus just on teaching artistic skills? Why do the behind-the-scenes skills like editing and production?
Oh, so we do also teach editing and production. We also focus on artistic skills. We are teaching young people to be the future moguls in media and entertainment industry.
The future moguls?
Absolutely.
Explain how you do that.
So by getting those 10,000 hours in of work. Right. So say you got basketball players, they have AAU, so they practice at a young age, starting at 5, playing basketball, going to camps and things like that for basketball, football. That's what we're doing with the Media Rhythm Institute. We start people at a young age. We start these young kids at a young age, teaching them how to hold the camera, how to successfully use social media, how to do interviews, how to ask questions, and let them know that the most important part of having a conversation is listening. And once you teach them that at a young age, the next year, then they get on to learning more. Now, how to shoot on the camera, how to make sure it's focused, how to white balance, how to make sure the mic is correct, make sure the scene is not too hot. Now, that's just Channel Me Media, right? So we're talking 6, 7, that's 2 years of progression. Eighth grade, they're making their own documentaries. They're producing their own movies. They're creating opportunities for the younger people and teaching the younger people. Ninth grade, now we're moving into another level. So think about these things that they're learning, and that's just one program in a matter of 3 years. We took two students, matter of fact, two families to A3C, which is the All Three Coast Festival in Atlanta, where they were able to see a lot of different people within the music industry. There are so many different jobs, such as PR, management. Then you have publicists. You have videographers, cinematographers. Besides people that rap, you have different producers. Some of our kids produce. Today we have one of our most talented people on the microphone doing interviews. Then we have one of our most talented MCs in the building today. We're cultivating their skills now to prepare them so when they graduate from high school, they're ready to start their own business. Why not get your own business, you know, because college is not for everyone. I went to college and I tuned my skills, right? But they may not need to go. They may be already making 50, 60 grand once they graduate high school. That's how we're creating entertainment and media moguls.
How many kids does Media Rhythm Institute serve each year?
So this previous year, this school year, which ends in August, we've served over 1,500 kids. Currently, we're doing summer programming at 9 different sites.
Tell me more about what equipment your kids have access to.
Absolutely. So in the room, if we can bring the viewers in to us visually, we have a young lady who's very good with the cameras. So currently she's holding a Canon T5i camera in her hand right now recording this interview. We also have studios where for our Ryan students, they go in and they produce the beat. Then we have microphones. We have speakers for our dance class. We have speakers for our facilitators to facilitate the dance class with. We also have podcasting equipment, laptops, everything that you would need in order to run a mini studio.
The more I listen to you, the more I realize I couldn't make it in your classes. These kids know a lot.
They know, but, you know, they also teach others. Each one teaches one. In the room right now, you have our vets. At the schools, you have the newcomers, right? So one class has 30 kids. Now, there's one facilitator, one main facilitator for this particular class, right, Chanami Media. But you have two veterans in the room, so we would split those 30 kids up into 10. And these young people train the other young people. And that's important because sometimes they look at us as adults. You know, once you hit 25 to these kids who are 10, 12, 13, 14, you're an old head. You know, and it's okay because I got young people that can also facilitate, right? And then they learn the skills that they learn in a fun way, and we have a great time.
Jimmy, most of the kids are elementary and middle school students, but you've also connected with some young people who are out of high school.
Yeah, so those connections happen because our kids grow. And as they grow, we want to keep them in the fold. For example, in this room right now are all outgoing eighth graders, incoming freshmen in high school. So we give them jobs. So they either working with us on one front with YouthWorks, thanks to YouthWorks. And then we also pay some of our kids to work with us as well to come back and train the others. On Wednesdays, we have Rec Boys at Lakeland. Lakeland is really known for its gunplay. You know, it's a lot of gun violence over there. Our kids don't have anything to do. You know, their only safe space is the school, is the rec. So on Wednesdays from 5 to 7, those young men who would be out doing other things that are, you know, not necessarily the best things, they come in with us and they record.
That's Jimmy Thomas, principal of the Media Rhythm Institute here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. The Media Rhythm Institute offers art and STEM classes for young people in Baltimore. Students from the group will be performing at Artscape this weekend, and I want to introduce the two students that Jimmy has made reference to. Shania Norris, age 14. She's taken music and media classes with the Media Rhythm Institute. Thanks for being here, Shania.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Sanaya Fletcher, also 14, also a rising freshman. Welcome.
Thank you.
What have you learned at the Media Rhythm Institute, Sanaya?
I learned that I can do things that I never even experienced before.
Like what?
Rapping. I can sometimes do Chanami Media. I can use the camera. Can make beats and stuff like that.
Shania, how about you? What have you learned?
I've learned that when opportunity strikes, you have to take it and just go for it because it might not come again.
Can you give me an example of when opportunity presented itself for you?
Different things like hosting on Saturday, which I will be doing. Meeting different people because if I was out there doing other things, I might not have these type of opportunities that I'm faced with right now.
What do you like best, Shania?
I like hosting. It's fun. Being on the stage is like my element, is what I like to do. I like to entertain people.
And how about you, Shania? What do you like best?
Rapping. I like to motivate people. And like, so we had this thing called SSM. It's called Soul Slick Motivators. And we motivate people in slick ways by like telling them our life stories and music. Just like the legend song I have, I motivated people and told them that like you can do it all by yourself. You don't really need nobody.
So at Artscape, Shania, you'll
yes.
be hosting.
Yes.
Tell me what that means. Tell me what you'll be doing specifically.
I'll be introducing the crowd to everybody who's performed, pumping them up, getting them ready, talking up the performance for the crowd, and just get the adrenaline busting, the energy in the room up so that when the performer comes on, it's a lit show and everybody just has fun.
And Sanaya, what will you be doing at Artscape?
I will be rapping. Like, I have like my own set that have my songs in there, like three of them, that I like the best because it describes who I am and what I have become.
Jimmy, what else will your students be doing?
We are partnering with Be More Than Dance. Baltimore is known for its club dance, so we have different students that will be dancing. We will have some photographers and videographers in the room who will be capturing the moment. Then we also have some students who are in our RIME program doing audio engineering, and they will be playing their beats so people can come out and purchase the beats that the kids made. You know, these beats that these kids are making now is, you know, high-quality beats.
When's the best time to see kids at Artscape?
So we taking over Motor House 5 to 7 p.m. at Motor House, which is on North Avenue.
On Saturday.
5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday. Yes, ma'am.
Let's listen to part of the song Legend.
I'm a legend right here. If you go to the past, promise it won't last. I'm a legend right here. I'm a legend right here. Now I'm always gonna pass. I got my grades up, living up right here. Got no hate, wanna make the world a better place. Cause I'm a legend right here. Stop that hate, you see me trying to find a better way. Cause I'm a legend around here.
Jimmy, tell us how this song came to be.
So we put the kids in the studio and we allow them to create on their own. A lot of times when they're in classes, they're being told to sit down, be quiet, don't say anything. But when they come to us, that's the time for them to express themselves. That's what this is really about. This is so many different ways for youth to express themselves in a positive light. So I Am a Legend came because they went in the studio, they heard the beat, and they created the melody. Then they created the verse and the hook. You know, that's it's total creative process, which is up to the youth.
Sanaya?
Well, the legend song is like about legends. Like, we had a legend that passed away, and like I dedicated one part to him because he had like the kids really hyped, and he was like one of the best rappers that we all liked it. So I just dedicated the song to him, and I dedicated a part to my mom. Because my mom was the one that put me into Lakeland, that changed my whole life around when I got into the Media Rhythm Institute.
Well, I'm grateful to you all for talking to us. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Jimmy Thomas is principal of the Media Rhythm Institute. Shania Norris and Sanaya Fletcher are rising freshmen and students with the Media Rhythm Institute. Quick break here on The Record. When we're back, video game design requires thousands of choices about characters, music, and how players interact. We hear about Gamescape at Artscape. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Musicians, sculptors, dancers, and filmmakers will gather this weekend in Baltimore for Artscape, the nation's largest free arts festival. It's a chance to celebrate art in all its forms, including video games. Video game worlds can look like the real world or transport you to lands with monsters and aliens or entertain you with cartoonish characters. However a game looks, there's always a team of people who put it together, and these artists will travel from far and wide to attend Artscape's Gamescape Showcase, located At the corner of North and Maryland Avenues, Gamescape will highlight newly designed video games and their creators and give players a chance to learn more about their design. Joining us now is freelance developer and Gamescape coordinator Jonathan Moriarty. Moriarty is also Baltimore's board chair for the International Game Developers Association, the IGDA. Welcome to On the Record, Jonathan.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back, Sheila.
What will be happening at Gamescape during its three-day run?
So we'll be having a selection of different independently developed games, some from larger companies as well, actually, which is exciting. But we'll basically have a few that are in our main exhibition section, the things that are new this year. We're also going to be having a rotating quick play section. So that will be different developers who are rotating in through different parts of the space. So depending on what days you check in, on Friday, you might see different games and you'd see Saturday or Sunday. And that's something that we're really excited about. There'll be VR games. There'll be, you know, video games that are of a more traditional make. There'll be video games that are sort of more narratively focused. A very wide variety of games that I'm very excited about.
You were a student at UMBC when you started working with Gamescape, right?
That's correct. I was the president of the UMBC Game Developers Club. It's a student interest group at the campus that works on teaching themselves to make games.
And now you're the coordinator. What has kept you glued to it all these years?
Gamescape is a wonderful event for both the community of developers and the community of people who are playing games. And I think that it works that way because games are an interactive medium. And it's impossible to really know how your game is going to play with, like, a member of the general audience without running them through it. And so events, showcases like Gamescape are great because they offer an opportunity for developers to get their game in front of people, sometimes before they're fully done working on them, so that they can get a sense of what works, what doesn't, what's engaging people, what's not. It's an opportunity to refine their craft.
How is Gamescape 2019 different from previous years?
So we're going to be at a new venue. For the last few years, we've been over at the UB space, which has been very cool. But this year, we're going to be at 1915 Maryland Avenue, right around the North Avenue Market Space area. We're, again, going to be having that quick play area that's going to be different. Similar to last year, we're going to be having the People's Choice Awards. So when you're going through the main exhibition, you can look at the different games that are on display, vote for the one you like the best. And on Sunday, this will be different. We'll be presenting the award during the event to the game that received the most votes, which I'm very excited about. What's also going to be new, and not technically part of Gamescape, but right in that area, a bunch of local businesses have gotten together to run a preview of the up-and-coming North Avenue Market Space, and that includes Wild Kombucha from Mobtown Fermentation, Secret Sauce is debuting their new hot sauce, local makerspace Baltimore Node is partnering to celebrate their 10-year anniversary there, and MAGFest, the music and gaming festival that's also local and close to my heart as well, is going to be on-site with some classic arcade and console games to sort of complement our newer offerings. And they're debuting their Developing Local Communities program, or DLC, and they're going to be sponsoring some chiptune performances from Dr. Octorok, and they're also going to be bringing Killer Queen, which is a popular 5v5 strategy arcade game.
Wow, there's a lot going on.
Yes.
That's freelance game developer Jonathan Moriarty, Baltimore board chair for the International Game Developers Association. Here on The Record on WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. You'll be able to find him this weekend at Artscape's Gamescape area, a showcase of video games and their creators. Gamescape, of course, is part of Artscape, but video game design may strike some listeners as more about computers and less about creativity. What makes video games art?
I tend to think about art as communication. It's about bringing forward an idea or a story or some sort of feeling or evoking something from the audience. And so games are unique among other art mediums in that they're interactive. So for lack of a better term, your audience talks back to you, like they input things, and then you as a game maker choose how to respond to what they input, and that's what the game is. Sid Meier of Firaxis up in Hunt Valley defines a game as a series of interesting decisions. I think that's a lovely definition, but it's not an all-encompassing one. But what it is great for is when Sid Meier and Firaxis are going at out to make the kind of games that they want to make, they can look at what they've done and evaluate it in that sense of, like, have I given the people playing enough interesting choices? And I think that definitions are a shovel, not a cudgel, is probably the succinct way of doing that.
At any rate, you're perfectly comfortable with Gamescape being in Artscape.
Absolutely.
Jonathan, what's the connection between Gamescape and the larger game development community in Baltimore?
The Baltimore game development community is very interesting. We are sort of situated between Baltimore, the city itself, which has a lot of indie developers, scrappier, smaller teams. Sometimes they're just individuals making games. Sometimes they're doing it for a hobby. Sometimes they're making it work full time as a small team. And then up in the Hunt Valley area to our north, you've got a lot of big companies like Firaxis, ZeniMax, Big Huge, Breakaway, Wargaming. It's a hub of big industry developers making games that people know throughout the world. And so another cool thing about Gamescape is it's an opportunity for people to realize that things like that are made right next door to them.
When I hear the name International Game Developers Association, which is hosting Gamescape, right?
We're partnering with the Baltimore Office of Promotion and the Arts to help bring it forward. I was super happy to help them.
Okay. So when I hear that name, I think of the big Hunt Valley firms. Mm-hmm. But I gather the...
Yes.
So IGDA is all of this.
The IGDA is a nonprofit professional association and a global network of communities of individuals from all fields of game development. And I've had the great pleasure of being the chair of the Baltimore chapter since 2015. And I see my job as assisting the local community, large and small, because there's movement between the two spaces. A lot of, for example, I started out as a student making games, and then I got an internship, and then I got a job, and then I freelance now. So you'll see movement between the two spaces where occasionally people who have done larger development at AAA game companies will spin off and start their own companies. You'll see that with studios like Mohawk Games or Oxide start off as spinoffs from other groups, and they grow to be their own studios. So there's movement between the two spaces, and I see my job as assisting all of them.
Are you going to be showing any of your own games at Gamescape?
Yes, actually. So I will be showing off. I've worked with a couple of my friends on a game called Lost Cave, which is a 2D perspective manipulation platforming game. So you kind of change your perspective on the world, and that sort of changes how the world exists, which is a little hard to explain. I would recommend people check out a trailer to really get a sense of what's going on. One of my favorite things about that game is when people start playing it and they get what's going on, like that look on their face, it's super fun. We've got like an album of photos of people like just sort of like wide eyed, like, oh, that's what's going on. And then we might bring something else that's a little more experimental, but I don't want to say yes or no on that yet.
And what other games or developers are you excited to see?
Honestly, I'm a big fan of the local community in general. There's going to be a lot of games there that I think are going to be neat. One that I think caught my eye because I'm unfamiliar with them, but I think it's an interesting experiment. Captain Trash versus the Evil Dudes is this game that appears to be a father and a child team where the child is sort of providing this like direction for how things should go, like character design, like what things might look like or what things should be. And then the father's sort of executing on it. And that's a genre of thing that you see. And it strikes me like a very fun, heartfelt project.
What are you working on next?
So right now we're the IGDA in general is all hands on helping with Gamescape, which we're happy to do for the local community. Throughout the year, we run different game dev-related events. Sometimes it means having speakers. Actually, just a few days ago, we had the founder of the Able Gamers charity, which is a group that's devoted to providing gaming support for people with different sorts of disabilities. We had him and one of his lead user researchers come up and talk to the community about how to do more accessible game design. So our goals are pretty broad. We're here to assist the people that make games.
And the people who play them.
Exactly, yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, too. It's great to be here.
Jonathan Moriarty is a freelance video game developer and the Baltimore board chair for the International Game Developers Association. He's coordinating Gamescape, the game development showcase at Artscape this weekend. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we'll have more information on all the things to do and see at Artscape. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll be with us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.